pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life tip one, you can use a razor to shave those little lint balls off your sweatshirt or jacket.
Speaking of jackets, try wearing yours backwards. You could use the hood as a convenient snack trough.
Life tip two, switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. On top of that, the Geico Insurance Agency could help save you money on home and renter's insurance. Geico, get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.
Black Lives Matter protesters in Charlotte now wanting the removal of the white mayor of the city. Here's more on the story from Chris Barnes.
Protesters showing up at last night's city council meeting demanding the resignations of Mayor Jennifer Roberts and the police chief Kara Putney over the police shooting death of a black man. That man was shot by a black police officer last week. Police say the man who was shot and killed was holding a gun at the time. I'm Chris Barnes.
The head of Homeland Security is telling Congress that homegrown terrorist-inspired attacks are going to be the biggest threat to Americans on their own U.S. soil. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson told a Senate committee today terrorist-inspired attacks are what keeps national security officials up at night. The head of the FBI, James Comey, said terrorist attacks will grow as ISIS falls.
There will be a terrorist diaspora sometime in the next 2 to 5 years like we've never seen before.
Congressman questioned the two men on why ISIS has not yet been defeated. USA Radio News.
Keep yourself and your wallet healthy with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. In addition to Plenty points, earn Wellness Plus points every time you shop. $1 spent on everyday items gets you 1 point, and get up to 25 points on every prescription you fill. When you've reached 1,000 Wellness Plus points, you'll get 20% off our regular prices for a year. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through October 1st, earn 1,000 Plenty points when you spend $30 on select P&G products. See RiteAid.com and circular for details.
A New York police officer on trial for a road rage incident that left a man dead. Here's the story.
Officer Wayne Isaacs, who was off duty at the time, is accused of shooting and killing Delron Small on July 4th after the 37-year-old approached his car at a red light on Atlantic Avenue. The cop claims Isaacs reached in and punched him, but surveillance video shows Isaacs waiting just 1 second before opening fire.
I want justice for my husband, Delron Small. I want Officer Wayne Isaacs to spend the rest of his life in jail.
Winona Small, the victim's wife. Isaacs is the first cop to be charged by the state attorney general under his role as special prosecutor for all police killings of civilians in New York. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
$1 million bond for the shooter in Washington. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
A judge in Washington state sets bail at $2 million for the suspect.
There are five counts, and as to each count, the maximum punishment is a fine of up to $20,000 and imprisonment for up to life.
Arkan Satine was given a public defender by a judge in Skagit County yesterday. The 20-year-old immigrant from Turkey accused of the shooting deaths of five people at a mall in Burlington, Washington. That's about 65 miles north of Seattle. And Satine has reportedly confessed to police. His court documents indicate he did admit taking a rifle into the Macy's store at that mall. I'm Chris Barnes.
USA Radio News.
Hey, this is Joe Peters of Real Estate Matters. We're going to get the show started in about 3 minutes. We're going to go through a few paid commercials from our advertisers, including one of my own. And we're going to go through the weather report, and we're going to get in. We're going to talk today a little about distressed properties, short sales, whatever you want to call them. We're going to go through it from A to Z. By the time you listen to us for the next 50 minutes or so, I think I will have given you a pretty good indoctrination of what that is all about. So first things first, let me play a few of our sponsored commercials, and I'll be right back.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
So before we get started, they've asked me to give you a little about the weather. If you've been outside, it's really a nice day after that little rain we had this morning. We've got a 73-degree temperature. It says it's going to go to 76. I don't think it's going to make it. Overnight, we're going to drop down until 46, so it's going to be sort of cool, great sleeping with the window open kind of weather. Tomorrow, Wednesday, a little afternoon rain, high of 76 again, low of 58, won't get as cool. Thursday, mostly cloudy, little rain mixed in, a high of 65. That is pretty cool. And then on Saturday, on Friday, we're going to be a high of 64. On Saturday, we'll get up into the 70s again. So it's fall. Those 80 degrees, those 90 degrees days are far behind us. Let me tell you a little about my background by playing a one-minute commercial that explains who I am. Joe Peters at Weikert.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
So if that sounded a lot like me, there's good reason. Tells you a little about me, about me having to say it over and over. And we'll play that once more before the show is over. I am with Weikert in residential real estate. I cover all of Hunterdon and all of Somerset County, sort of right down 78, plus or minus 10 miles, either side. And I've been doing this for going on 13, 14 years as a professional, and before that I had done it as an investor. So I've got a little over 20 years of experience. A lot of people come up to me and say, what's happening with the short sales and foreclosures? And generally it's called distressed properties. I thought rather than try and do it off my top of my head, I'd read an excerpt from one of the newsletters I've subscribed to that I think describes it the best. The percentage of, and it says foreclosure rate trends, the percentage of delinquent mortgage loans in New Jersey that are 90 days plus past due fell by 20 basis points or to 6.5% in July. That's an improvement. This is down 11% since September down from an 11% peak in September of 2012. New Jersey continues to have the highest rate in the nation, followed by 5.6% in New York, 5.6% in New York. Rounding out the list of states are Florida with 4.3%, Mississippi 4.3%, Maine 4.1%, Rhode Island, Delaware, and Maryland following close behind. Nationally, the percentage of 90-plus day delinquent mortgage loans remained unchanged from the prior month at about 2.8%. So if nationally we're at 2.8% and New Jersey is at 6.5%, that's not good news. But it's improving, and you're going to see. Due to New Jersey's high rate of mortgage delinquency, the pace of foreclosure filings in the state remains elevated at a time when most other states are experiencing decreasing activity. New Jersey foreclosure filings in 2015 recorded a 14% over the prior year, 67,000 to 76,000. However, based upon year-to-date figures, foreclosures on place in New Year, to the current year, 2016, to be more like 72,000. Still, the accelerated pace of foreclosure filings in New Jersey will create additional constraints on home prices in those places where they are most concentrated, which are most of the state's urban and rural areas, as well as the Atlantic County, where the current is the highest foreclosure rate in this nation. And a lot of that's left over from the hurricane. What is a foreclosure? When you go to buy a home, you sign, unless you're independently wealthy, and I like to say I've got enough money to last me the rest of my life. I just have to die by Tuesday. So I'm probably in a boat with the rest of you. Unless you're independently wealthy, you've got to go get a mortgage. That means you put 5, 10, 20% down on a house, and you go out to the bank or to the government, and you get a mortgage. It depends on your credit. Mortgage is always dependent upon your job history, your credit history, and your assets. And let's just make a simple example here. It's a $500,000 home, and you got a $100,000 mortgage. I'm sorry, $500,000 home, you put $100,000 down, you got a $400,000 mortgage, 80% loan to value. And you did this back in 05, 06, when the market was really at its peak. Now, the market since then fell all the way, nearly 35%, depending where you're at and depending on your price point, and has come back almost two-thirds of that to the point where we're still at about 15%, 16%, 70%, once again, where you're at, price of your house blends into it. So if you were buying a $500,000 house in 2006, and it's now 2016, 10 years later, and you still are 15% off, 10% would be $50,000, 15% would be $75,000. Your house is probably worth four and a quarter if you're caught up in that scenario. That's how foreclosures happen because, okay, it dropped. It dropped all the way down into the threes, but the equity has been generally building up month after month after month, and now we're up to about four and a quarter. And if we keep on this pace for another three, maybe 4 years, we're going to get back to where it's 500,000. Everybody's happy, as long as you don't have to sell the house during that period of time. If you have to sell the house, usually having to sell a house is caused by a life event. It could be marriage, death, separation, children gone to college, having more children, lots of reasons, but they all fall in those categories. If you have to sell a house and your house is now worth only 85% of what you paid for it, then you're in a situation which is called a short situation. You may still owe, because you've been paying down the mortgage a little each month over these last 10 years, you may still owe $460,000 on your, we had a $500,000, we took out a $400,000 mortgage, and the mortgage is now, an house is now worth four and a quarter. So you'd probably be in pretty good shape, but you'd have lost your down payment. If in effect, you were really marginal and you only put 3 or 4 or 5% down, you may still owe $450,000 and the house is worth four and a quarter. That's where the word short comes in. It's short of what you owe. And you and the bank have a conversation and the bank says, let's put it on the market and you bring me an offer. And we'll see if we can make that offer work. And if we can, we'll forgive you the short amount. and in effect you will be relieved of all obligations tax-wise, payback-wise. The only thing that takes a hit is your credit. And at that, a short sale is much better than a full foreclosure because your credit's probably going to take a 100, 150-point hit, but it'll be rebuilt in 3 or 4 years. Where if you go full foreclosure, which means the bank takes it away from you, well, then your credit's probably a disaster area. And I can't even imagine where it's going to wind up. It's probably going to be to a point where you can't possibly get a loan. It's just like filing a bankruptcy. It's going to take you a while. So we all, I can't say we all, but a lot of us get into that situation for one of those reasons. The job changes. Both of you are working. You're highly leveraged. You both really need to bring home pretty much what you're making when you took the mortgage out. And one of you either got cut back or laid off altogether. And guess what? The mortgage is the biggest payment you make each month. So you got to pay the electric bill. Got to feed the kids. You got to do some of those essentials like have a car to go to work and have some discretionary income to do it. And at the end of the month, instead of having, let's say it's a $2,000 mortgage payment, you only got $1,000. So you put it in the bank and say, okay, next month I'm going to make it up. But next month somehow never happens. So you get 2 or 3 months behind in your mortgage payment, and you get into what the bank calls a foreclosure situation. It's signed into your mortgage agreement that once you miss 2 or 3 payments, the bank has the right to start the foreclosure process on you. And they start it by filing a lis pendens. It's Latin for libel sued pending. That means that there's a cloud over your situation. It's filed in public court. But a lot of people do nothing when that happens. And there's some reasons for it. It's optimism that our job's going to come back any day. We'll get back on our feet. We can borrow some money. I'm selling the 401k off. I've got some investments. I've got a little cash put away. But, you know, I think what happens in a lot of cases, I know what happens because I deal with these people every year, is that that optimism sort of takes the place of realism, which means I'm in trouble. I'm not going to be able to catch up here. And I'm getting into a situation which is increasing my visibility with the bank. And rather than making my payment every month, I'm missing maybe 1 out of 3 payments. Now I'm 2 payments behind, but I'm hopeful I'm going to make a. You got to give the bank a call and say, here's my situation. They're going to ask for some documentation. It's called a hardship letter. They're going to ask what caused it. They're going to take a look at it with you. And if it fits within the parameters of the bank will work with you. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I would say probably one, if you're looking at 6%, it's one of every 15 houses in New Jersey is in this situation. So here's what happens when people get into that situation. One is they keep that optimism going and do nothing. They don't even call a bank. They're just trying to catch up, and it's getting worse. It's like trying to roll that snowball uphill or do the Sisyphus thing of rolling the boulder up the mountain and never getting to the top. That's sort of what I would call the ostrich approach, where you put your head in a hole and you try to figure it out on your own. A better approach is to go to your bank, talk to them about the situation, and perhaps together market the house. Put it on the market as a short sale. And as a short sale, try to get as close to what you owe the bank as possible. And then the balance is a loan that will be forgiven. There is no tax consequences on the forgiven amount, but there is a credit consequence because, in effect, you've missed some payments. But it's not the end of the world. So let's say you've got the $425 and it's only worth $400. You owe $425, it's only worth $400. You come in and you get a $375 offer. You take it to the bank. The bank will make a counteroffer and say, no, based on the value of the house. And they keep everybody honest by doing what they call broker price opinions or BPOs. They'll have an independent broker take a look at the house every 6 weeks and give them an opinion. And if the independent broker says that house is worth $400,000, they expect to get $400,000. So if you get a free $75,000, they're probably going to give a counteroffer of, no, we'll take $400,000, and you owe $425,000. There's a little bit of wiggle room in that, but they're not going to come down to the free $75,000. And it takes a long time. Did I say long? A long time for the bank to get an answer, usually about 6 weeks when you get an offer. We're burning through these elsewhere in the country, and as a result, we're getting a little better at getting responsible answers from the holding companies. But in most cases, I find the bank is three quarters across the country, a lot of it in Salt Lake City. Not sure why that is. And in effect, the people aren't familiar with the area. They're not familiar with the market, but they're doing these BPOs and getting opinions, and they're saying, I want $400,000, and the house really isn't worth $400,000. Because what happened? You're short on money. One or possibly two things happen when you're short on money. You don't have the money to take care of it, so it's starting to get a little run down. And in a lot of cases, the person who's in this situation is very unhappy about it. This was their dream. This is where they were going to raise the kids. This was where they were going to retire eventually, or whatever the situation might be. And not only don't they have the money to take care of it, they're deliberately not taking care of it because they're not going to give it to the next person. So, if you're looking to buy a short sale, there's several things you should be aware of. People don't have the money. A lot of times they're not happy. And a lot of times the bank is trying to get more money than a house is worth because the bank's never been in the house. They're paying a broker to do a drive-by, and based on prior sales in that neighborhood, the actual agent who's doing a work for them for like $50. It's not like they're getting a $300 appraisal where the guy comes in and comps it against five houses. They're having an agent who knows the area give them a value, and they're getting that it's $400,000, and they're not going to sell it below that. So it sits, and it sits, and it sits. And pretty soon, it's not worth $400,000 anymore or $375,000. It's only worth $350,000. So the people that are in the house may do one of two things with the bank if it hasn't sold and they can't come to an agreement. One is, and it happens a lot, they just disappear. They say, and they're not in communications with the bank, I'm out of here. I'm going to go rent a house somewhere else, and I'm going to stop trying to catch up because I can't. And we see a lot of that, and we see a lot of abandoned properties, and a lot of times they're what we're calling zombie homes because the bank has to find these people to close this out. Another more, and I say this really trying to be helpful. When you get into this situation, you should be talking to your financial institution. Sometimes you want to do it for an attorney. Sometimes you can just do it directly. But you want to talk to them. They know you're behind. It's not a surprise to them, and they're going to be there in order to work with you to some extent to try to sell this. But rather than abandoning the situation and just leaving the house on the market where the bank has to go to the courthouse steps and foreclose on it and take it back from you, a more sane way would be say to the bank, I would like to sign it over to you and just do everything I just said, leave and go do something else. Now, the bank doesn't want to do this, but it's much more sane than putting them through the full foreclosure process. It's called a deed in lieu. And a deed in lieu process means I'm going to sign a document with the bank. The bank's going to let me off the hook for any more indebtedness on the house. And I'm going to give the house to the bank. And internally, it's called jingle mail. Just mail the keys back to the bank, and you're out of there. Once it's signed, you can't decide to do it and just mail the keys. You got to go through negotiation with the bank and get a signature on both sides and then give the house back to the bank. That's one way to do it. The other is if you just abandon it and walk away, or if the person who owns the house, I'm not saying it's you, then the bank has to go through a full foreclosure basis, and that's where they buy it at auction on the steps of the county courthouse. Now, does it really happen on the steps? No, but I've been through them. And you may see a house that's worth $350,000 sell for $10,000 because whoever's buying it at auction has to buy all the indebtedness, including the mortgage against that house, as part of the sale. And the banks aren't going to undersell. The banks, first thing, most people think, I can steal one of these at a short sale or an auction. The banks ain't stupid. You're not going to steal it. They're doing this BPO every 6 weeks. They know what the house is worth. I meet so many people thinking this, and I have to bring them into realization. Once it goes to full foreclosure, there's no room for a real estate agent or a buyer because you can't get into the house. You can't take a look at the house. You can't inspect the house. You have to buy it as is. You have to understand what the indebtedness is, and you're buying all of that indebtedness. It's not for the faint of heart. So what's happening in the courthouse is before the auction, and it's usually a half a dozen to a dozen houses a week or auction. I've been to both Somerset and Hunter and watched the procedure. It looks like a steal, but it's not because you're buying all the debt that goes with the house. And then what happens once the bank buys the house? That's a period of limbo that usually takes 1 to 2 years while the bank has it refurbed a little bit and gets it back on the market as if it's a normal sale. Because I don't want to tell you it was a prior foreclosure. You could figure it out. There's lots of sites that will tell you that information. But you are going to see this house sit with grass growing up to the doorknob while they find the people that either walked away from it or they take it back and get it rehabbed and put it back on the market. And that process could take 2 years. It comes back on as normal inventory. And we call it REO, real estate owned. I don't know where that term comes from, but it means the bank has bought it back, either through the deed in lieu process or a full foreclosure process. So what happens if you go to an attorney? And I'm not anti-attorney. I think attorneys serve a very, very good purpose during this process. First of all, most attorneys don't do them because it takes a long time to get paid. They got to pay their bills and feed their kids. And a lot of the processes just fall apart. And as a result of it never coming to fruition, either a short sale or a full foreclosure, the attorneys never get paid for the work they do because the people say, well, I never sold it. Why do I owe you money? Well, the attorney starts working the day you contact them. A lot of time you have to give them a retainer. Most attorneys want a retainer to get into a short sale or foreclosure anymore. And there's several really good attorneys. If you're interested who they are, call me, 908-238-0118. And I have one or two that are the Sterling. It's all they do is foreclosures. And if I'm listing a foreclosure or if I'm helping a person buy a foreclosure, I insist that we go through one of these highly experienced attorneys so that we have a good chance of bringing it to a normal end rather than spend a lot of time, spend a lot of money, and have it fall apart. As a matter of fact, you've seen a commercial where the doctor on TV says, most doctors see this kind of illness only 3 times in a lifetime. I specialize in it, and I see it 3 times every afternoon. That's the kind of an attorney you want to go to. That one that does nothing but foreclosures. He knows the banks. He knows how they operate. He can get things done. So that's the process. I'm going to go through a few more of our commercials. I'm going to be right back. And we're going to go back through what people see as part of this process and how they get involved. Be right back.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Okay, it's Joe Peters, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the selling side of foreclosures, and we're going to get into the buying side of foreclosures. Let's say you go to an attorney, and most of the time, and you've heard this somewhere, and I hear it all the time, some attorneys will say, well, if that's the situation, it's going to take 2 or 3 years for the bank to throw you out of the house in New Jersey. And what you should do is just stop making payments. Don't try to catch up because you can't. Obviously, you've proven that to yourself already. I'm telling you, it's a fruitless effort. You can't. That's what they're told by their attorney. And you'll get to live there for 2, maybe 3 years. Just put the money you would have been paying towards the mortgage away, because eventually they're going to come and toss you out. It's not like overnight. You'll get a lot of notices. You'll go to court. You'll go in front of a judge. And New Jersey has what's called the judicial system, which means the judge has to hear the eviction, and you cannot be thrown out just by some clerical in 90 or 120 days the way it happened in Las Vegas and California. That's why they're finished already. We're going to be doing this for a long time. And it's a good thing that you've got to go in front of a judge, because he's going to sort of, not in all cases, but in general, side with the side of the family and the hardship and make sure nobody is physically getting hurt through this process. But eventually it'll happen. Your house will be taken away from you because you haven't made the payments. I mean, it's just like not paying a rent. You're just not banking the payments. They start the process at 3 months after the third payment is missed. And in effect, you're going to pay the piper somewhere along the line. So you may get that advice from the attorney. I'm not sure whether it's good or bad. I'm not going to second guess the attorneys. But a lot of people have just stopped making their payments and are preparing for the inevitable. But guess what? That money doesn't get put away. Because the money wasn't there, you'd have been paying the mortgage anyway. You have to address your situation, and you probably need some financial advice while going through that. And I'm not here to give you that. I can't legally give you financial advice. It's a big nut to crack. But I've seen people lose both jobs, live in a $600,000 house, and not have the money to move out once this was over, almost to the point where they were destitute. If the government didn't give them the few thousand dollars that you get as part of this, as part of the HARP Act, I believe it is, they would not have had the money to move to wherever they moved to. It's devastating. It's heartbreaking. It's probably one of the most intrusive things you can have is to lose where you live and all of the investment that you've put into it. The down payment is gone. The equity is gone. The house is gone. Your credit is gone. It's even hard to rent another place if you don't have good credit. You need some advice as you go through it. But it happens. And then one other thing that happens is people get into the situation, but they keep making their payments. So let's say you had the same situation. You owed $4.25 on the house. The house is only worth $375, $400, but you're making your payments. You're not behind. You didn't lose a job. The house just got below water, but your financial situation is still rosy. Well, then you're in good shape, because what's going to happen is eventually, to the tune of 3 or 4% a year at current rates, under $500,000 at least, your house is going to appreciate, and eventually it's going to be worth what you owe. And as long as you can keep that going through that situation, you're going to get to a point where you can sell a house and at least break even, maybe take a little money out of it and move on. It doesn't hurt your credit. You've never missed a payment, because that's because you didn't lose part of your financial income. But if you're losing the income and you can't make the payments, I think what I said is pretty accurate. So what I encounter, and I advertise heavily in a online site, an online site called Realty Track. It's R-E-A-L-T-Y-T-R-A-K. Realty Track is a foreclosure and short sale network. And what it does is every time you get to the point where you've missed that third payment, you start to show up on Realty Track. And the public can join and for a price subscribe to Realty Track and follow. So let's say they want to live in the town of Clinton. They can go to Realty Track and say, let me see everything that's in this status and this price range in Clinton. And they'll cop up. So a lot of times I'll get an inquiry over Realty Track saying, I want to find out about this house. I see it's in pre-foreclosure. And I'll look it up and I'll say, there's nothing I can tell you. It's not for sale. And I'll say, well, what do you mean? It's on Realty Track. Well, all Realty Track knows, and there's some other sites like it as well, is that the third payment has been missed and the list pendant has been filed against you. You now have that cloud over your head financially. But, in effect, the house, you may not even be talking to the bank yet. And people have a hard time understanding that. Well, it's here. Why can't I get? Another thing I get is I get people calling me up saying, why are you saying my house is only worth this much on Realty Track when it's for sale at a higher amount? I'm not saying anything. I'm running a little advertisement in the upper corner of the paper. What's on the rest of the page is like running an ad on a front street page of the Wall Street Journal. I have no control over what's on the rest of the page. That's Realty Track, their algorithms. Call them. There's nothing I can do. It's not Joe Peters saying your house is in this situation. It's the situation that your house is in is saying it's in that situation. I've even had people call me and say, I haven't even missed any payments. Why is it there? Once again, call Realty Track. I just happen to be advertising. But as a result of my advertising, I will get calls from people who say, I want to see the house and it's not even for sale because it's just in pre-foreclosure. But once it gets down to the point where it's a short sale and it will say pre-foreclosure or not active. It's really easy to see, but people just don't understand it. Once it is in a short sale situation and it is listed, well, then I can help them go take a look at your house because it's a normal real estate transaction. It's listed in Garden State MLS. It's listed as a price. It's got the features. It's got an agent representing it. And, in effect, it's a normal real estate process. But until it's on Garden State MLS, and I say the same thing about some of the other sites like Zillow and Trulia, people say, well, it's listed there, but I can't find it. It's because it sold a year or two. They haven't taken it off yet. If it's not on Garden State MLS, GSMLS.com, and you as a user can sign on and look up all the inventory that's on in that any status, any price point, any town on that site, if it's not on Garden State MLS, I as a realtor can't sell it unless it's a for sale by owner where I can approach them directly and see if they'll work with agents. But I can't approach people that are in the point where they've missed free payments. They are still, in a lot of cases, either not aware of the situation or barely aware of the situation and don't know what to do about it, and they're not ready to talk to a real estate agent. I don't chase that business. It's fruitless business. But once you get into a short sale situation, well, then it's normal real estate. Now, here's what happens. And I got to tell you, this happens probably 10 times a month. I'll get somebody who has an aha moment. They went to a cocktail party and somebody told them that they could buy a house at short sale price and get it for a steal, for pennies on the dollar. First things first, you're not going to steal a house from a bank. They know what it's worth. They're sending somebody out every 6 weeks and they're getting an appraisal on it. So the bank knows what the house is worth, approximately. Sometimes they're 10% off, but they're not 50% off. Number two, what you're hearing is just that, cocktail talk, hairdresser, beauty parlor talk, we call it, where, yeah, it sounds too good to believe because it is. Yeah, you really aren't going to be able to buy a house for pennies on the dollar, and I don't care what your brother Harry did 4 years ago, the banks are selling these houses at reasonable prices, but not at fire sale prices. Good percentage to use in New Jersey for a house that's on short sale, for a house that's comparable to it, that's not on short sale, 5-7% discount. 5-7%. That's not a lot of money. $500,000 house, that's somewhere between 25-35%. I'm sorry, $25,000 and $35,000 discount to buy that house. Nice discount. But you gotta look at the baggage that comes along with the free ticket. The baggage is they will fix nothing. It will take forever for that house to close, and you're going to be responsible for all the inspections and all the certificates, right down to get a smoke and fire and anything else that's going on with the house. It's a high-risk, low-reward business. And I tell people that if you were to buy a house and it was just a normal sale, it was Mr. Brown down the street was selling his house and his is $500,000 and the septic failed, he's going to have to fix the septic. But if he's selling it as a short sale and the septic failed, you're going to have to fix the septic, and he isn't about to. And A, he doesn't have the money to, or else he wouldn't be in a situation, but B, the bank's not going to let him. So you're getting into a situation where it's incumbent upon you to spend a lot of money up front. And you've got to do an attorney review, and the bank will not let your attorney do a lot of the things your attorney would like to do on a normal sale. And then secondly, you're going to have to do an inspection. And then thirdly, you're going to have to wait a long time to hear the bank come back if you're requesting anything, because in most cases they're not going to fix anything anyway. And when you give them an offer up front, which probably happened before the attorney review process, it took you 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks to hear back from the bank, and then even a negotiation process may take a week to get a reply. So it's not for the faint of heart. But once you and the bank are in an agreement and the bank has concluded attorney review with you, they are committed to sell that house to you, and you are committed to buy that house from them. So now what happens? You see another house while you're waiting around for 6 or 9 months for this process to happen. You say, you know what, forget it. I'll even give up the money I spent already. This is the house I want. Sorry, you're still committed to buy the other house. And that's an indebtedness that you're, from a commitment viewpoint, your attorney has to explain to you, and you have to understand, because a lot of people get down to that point and find that, wow, I really don't want the house anymore. Now I've got to buy it. It's like pretty hard that if you make a commitment in January, next September, you still haven't closed on it. Everybody's getting impatient and mad at each other. And you find another house that you'd rather have. It's damn near impossible to break the deal. And there's money tied up. You've put some earnest money into it. You've put some inspection money into it. You've put some attorney money into it. All of that money has to be recouped, or, in effect, you're going to lose out without ever having any benefit of buying that house. So I tell people, it's not what it seems. When you see a house that's in pre-foreclosure, I can't help you, it's not for sale. When you see a house that is fully in foreclosure and the short sale process has happened, I can help you bid on that house, but there's a lot to be considered. And the one thing you should consider, if it was really worth money, if it was a real steal, and there's not a lot of those out there. Every once in a while there'll be one, but there's not a lot of them. An investor would have bought it up already. I mean, I got into one over in Bridgewater last week, and the house was literally worth $400,000 to $500,000 if it was up to snuff, and it was on the market for $275,000. And my buyer said, "Well, it's going to take me like $50,000 to get it just a living category, so I'd like to offer 2.25." I said, "All right, I'll give a call." I called the agent. I said, "Here's what we're thinking." I said, "Just what we just discussed. We'd like to offer 2.25, and here's the reason why." And I was told, "There are 6 offers on that house already. It went on yesterday, and 2 of them are above asking." So if you're going to think you're going to find one of those, I'm telling you, you got a lot of competition, and a lot of those people have cash in their hands and are cold investors, and the bank doesn't have to wait around for a mortgage, and they will take less of a money offer from an investor because they know they're going to get the cash. It doesn't need to be appraised, and that they're professional buyers. And what they're probably going to do is what we call flip it. They're going to buy it. They're going to put the 50 into it. They're going to throw it back on a market. And as long as they can turn it around in 6 to 12 weeks and, in effect, get a $25,000 to $50,000 profit out of it, and that's what they do for a living. It's a different way to earn a living, but that's being done every day of the week. So first things first, if it was really a steal, somebody would have bought it already. I tell that to people all the time. Secondly, you got to understand your financial obligation and your legal obligation going through this. And thirdly, it's going to take a long, long time. Never seen a short sale take less than 9 months. Let me say it again. I have never seen a short sale take less than 9 months. I'm certified short sale and foreclosure. I do about 2 a year, some on the buy side, some on the sell side. I usually just do them for people I know who are into a situation. I don't go out looking for them because I will tell you probably 19 out of 20 never come to fruition. You'll spend all of that time, you'll spend all of that money, and you'll never get paid. So it's pretty hard to work at a job that you're never going to get paid on. And as a result, I think there are better deals on what I call the retail market, houses that are for sale normally that are not foreclosures. And I try to steer people over that. And I would say probably 9 out of 10 people come to me looking for a foreclosure. And I take them out and I show a few of them to them. And they say, "Wow, it needs a lot of work." I said, "Yeah, you're not listening to me. I told you this right up front. It's going to need a lot of work. These are not people with money in their hands, and they are not happy campers, and they're not taking good care of that house. And you could, for almost the same amount, or at least the same amount once you have to put all the money in to fix things yourself, own a house and be beginning to end, offer attorney review, inspection, and closed in 8 weeks versus waiting around 9 or 12 months and having the whole world." It's a roller coaster ride of heartbreaks. I really don't feel most people are equipped to go through it. But they've heard they're going to get this house for pennies on a dollar. And I tell them up front, it ain't going to happen. It hasn't happened. It will not happen. You may find a deal. You may find maybe a 7% discount on a house, or a house that's worth something to you for some reason gives you a better value on it, but you're not going to get it for pennies on a dollar. It's just not happening. So that's the foreclosure market. My name is Joe Peters. I'm going to play my commercial again. You can give me a call. I'd be more than happy to talk with you about the process on a one-on-one basis, and I have done a lot of them. I'm certified in this process. And I'm based here in Hunterdon County, but I do all of Hunterdon and Somerset County. So once again, here's my commercial.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
So it's Joe Peters back with Real Estate Matters. I run this show every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Every second show I devote to subjects that 55-plus people would be more interested in and are not really real estate matters. It's a 55-plus show, so stay tuned in for that as well. It's my way of giving back every other week I do on real estate. So I'd like to spend the next few minutes talking about the market. This Saturday is the first of the month. My God, it's October already. We're going to be shoveling snow. Good grief, Joe, slap yourself. You shouldn't be talking like that. But, you know, we're coming out of it. We're still in a very, very active market. It depends on your location and it depends on your price point. I like to say we have two markets in Hunterdon County. One is over 500 and one is under. If you're under 500, especially under 400, that is the predominant part of our business in Hunterdon County. We sold last month, 75% of our sales in Hunterdon County were under $500,000. And 90% of them were under $600,000. So if you get into a market like we're in where we sold 173 houses, and you take a look at what's over $600,000 that sold, that's like 17 houses. And at the same time, we've got like 200 for sale. You divide one into the other. It's taken a while to sell those higher priced houses. Five to six, still active. That's a transferee, transfer out. It's our second move up buyer. And the first time buyers, the second time buyers are buying in the twos, threes, and fours. That's where we're really, really active. We can't keep the inventory on. So here's the life cycle of buying a house. Typical first-time buyers in their late 20s, somewhere to late 30s. I would say 28 to 37 range. First-time buyers buy a house that's 150 to free. The person that sells them that buys a second house, and they move up, and they buy something in a 3 to 5. And that person either moves up or maybe changes the style of house. They may have, the kids have gone and they want to still stay here, but they don't want a big colonial anymore. They'd rather have a little Cape Cod or a ranch. And then the last cycle of house buying is people that are over 65, which I am. I couldn't spell senior 10 years ago, and now I are one. I mean, it happens to all of us. Beats the alternative. Those people are looking to right size, and sometimes they rent. Sometimes they go into a 55-plus community. Sometimes they, too, just find a house where they can age in place a little more comfortably in it and get out of a two-bedroom or a two-floor house and get into a, all the living is on one floor. And maybe there is a second floor, but it's just there as a hobby room or a guest bedroom. Depends where you're at. It depends the price point you're at. Further west, if you go about a mile or two past Route 31, you're starting to get into geographical areas that I don't care what your price point are, you're going to have a challenge selling the house. People want to go to about Reddington, Raritan, Clinton Township and stop. If you're beyond it, if you're out into Alexandria and Holland, you know, I don't have to tell you, but most people may not realize it. It's a challenge selling a house out there at any price point because the market just doesn't want to go that far out. Once in a while, you get somebody who doesn't mind driving the other 10 miles and said, okay, I've got the house I wanted at least, and I'll drive it. But you pay it back and every day driving and commuting, and people realize that. So here's the challenge we've got. We haven't built a new house in Hunterdon County in 10 years of any magnitude. I would say we probably build a dozen a year in the above 600. There's still that luxury market. The over a million market is pretty well insulated. We did last year, last month we sold two houses over $1 million. We didn't sell any in the nines. We sold three in the 8 to 9. We sold seven in the 7 to 8 category. So a lot of activity up there. And to buy a brand new construction house, which still needs a lot of investment in shrubbery and landscaping and finishing it your way, is a lot more expensive to buy a house that's already on the market that somebody else has lived in. Because what's happening is the people that have had the $1 million houses from 10 years ago are now selling them for 7 and 8. So if you're coming on with a natural one that you think is worth 7 or 8, you have a lot of competition because there's some really nice real estate out there being sold by people that are much more eager to sell than you are. And as a result, your competition price-wise is somewhat scary. If you're under 5, it's active. If you've got a nice clean house in the 4s, I got to tell you, I think we could probably move it almost overnight. It's been that way. I've been working with people this year in the process of buying houses, and we're out there taking a look at houses as they come on the market and making offers the day they come on. Now, that's Hunterdon County. Can I describe Somerset County for you? Because it's a totally different, you're one county further to the east. I do business over there as well. If you get down into Hillsborough and Montgomery and Belmead, and you have an $800,000 house that's nice and cleaned and priced right, you will probably sell it the day it comes on the market. Because there's a market for it. That's where people want to live. They're not coming as far west as they used to. There's a very interesting article written by a couple of professors from Rutgers called The Receding Metropolitan Perimeter. If you Google that, Receding Metropolitan Perimeter, you'll find it. Or just give me a buzz, 908-238-0118, and I'll send you an article on it. And what it says is what happened from 1980 to 2005, which is where people went further west to have that bucolic lifestyle, has started to change direction, and the perimeter is receding. And although we've got a lot of people who still want to live in Hunterdon County, we don't have as many as we used to. And it's pretty much job-driven because they're going to have to go all the way back to New York or that vicinity in order to earn a living. In most cases, they're saying, I think I'd rather live in that direction. They're not coming as far out. So the effect is it's taking longer to sell our higher-priced houses. And if you've got a house that's in the 5s or 6s, and you're struggling to get it sold this year, I can tell you with almost certainty you're going to have a more difficult time and take less money for it next year. Get it sold, move on, get on with your life. Trying to get, because I've got those special whatever features in my house, the extra price is a losing proposition. So I can help you from the buy side. I can help you from the sell side. You can go to my site, jpeters.com. You can give me a call, 908-238-0118. I usually pick up if I'm not already talking to somebody else. Sometimes it's scary. People say, I didn't realize you'd pick up on a second ring. I'd love to talk to you. I don't bite. I don't push. I'm not a pushy salesman. I'm an informative executive in real estate who understands both Hunterdon and Somerset County, and I can help you through your situation. I'd love to hear from you. I hope to hear from you soon. I'm going to go to the news, and Greg will be on in 4 or 5 minutes with his music show, and I appreciate you tuning in. Thank you. Joe Peters, Wyckert Realtors, signing out for the day.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
This makes for a more complicated and challenging homeland security public safety environment.
the prospect of the next terrorist-inspired attack on our homeland is the thing that keeps us up at night.
That's Jay Johnson, the head of Homeland Security, testifying before Congress that lone wolf-style Islamic terrorist attacks like we saw in New York and Orlando will become more commonplace in America. FBI Director James Comey also testified, saying when ISIS collapses, terrorists will spread around the globe. Comey said the FBI is going to take a hard look again at their interactions with the New York terrorist.
We're going to go back and look very carefully at the way we encountered him.
Mandatory evacuations being ordered for residents living near the Loma Fire in Santa Cruz Mountains, California. Cal Fire officials say the fire has grown to over 1,000 acres overnight. One home is burned, 300 more structures being threatened. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
You've seen the headlines. Yahoo was hacked and over 500 million user accounts were jeopardized. If you have ever had a Yahoo email account, you're at risk of identity theft, and you must protect yourself now. ID Lion has got your back. USA Radio Network listeners can sign up now for free to get ID Lion's identity theft insurance. This hack is going